Again, we want to thank you for coming tonight and studying with us. We're going to look at Luke chapter 15 and verses 11 through 16 in our reading to start out with tonight. It says, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood." I suppose as the law would go, two-thirds would go to the elder son and one-third to the younger son. Verse 13, it says, "Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country. There he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. And when he had spent all, there arose a great famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went, joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. He would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods the swine ate, but no one gave him anything." Tonight I want to talk to you for just a few moments on the subject of why not be. Why not be a prodigal? And of course, when I was growing up young and I would hear this sermon from Grover, or maybe someone else, especially when you're a child, you think of a prodigal as the one who's lost. But that's not the idea. The prodigal is one that is exceedingly or recklessly wasteful, the idea. In fact, the thoughts of a pre-prodigal, someone that has a great desire to be wasteful, to be reckless. I jotted some of these down. Maybe no rules. Maybe people would like that idea of no rules. I know people talk about no rules a lot of times in their life. Or just this once. Just this once, I would like to get out and do what I want to do. Or that of everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. So I want to be a part of that as well. Or maybe nobody will get hurt. Nobody will get hurt about me dividing out what I have coming to me. Or the idea is that I just won't get caught. You don't see the consequences of your action. Or maybe it's my body, it's my life, I'm going to do what I want to do. Other thoughts concerning this? Nobody's going to tell me different things. They're not going to tell me how to dress. I'm going to do that myself. Nobody's going to tell me what I can watch. Nobody's going to tell me where I can go. I think of Proverbs chapter 1 and in verse 15 beginning, says, "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path." And he says that because he talks about the enticement of the sinner in chapter 1. In chapter 1 and in verse 8, it says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, They are a graceful wreath to your head, ornaments around your neck. And my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as they go down to the pit. We'll find all kinds of precious wealth. We'll fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us, and we shall all have one purse. Or nobody's going to tell me what I can do. They've already made up their minds. They're not going to listen. But here's a young man that in reality is saying, come on, hurry up and die. Hurry up and die so I can get my inheritance. And you see people like that. You meet people like that sometimes. They are so consumed with greed that they don't even care about their own mother or father many times. Very interesting in society. Many do not return, though. Some die in far country. I was thinking the other day about this congregation years ago. I wonder about where a lot of these people have gone to. There used to be a family named the Stones. Jim Stone and his family had several children. And I've always thought about what happened to those children. I don't even know if he's still alive or his wife's still alive. I know for years he had a chiropractic business out in the South End. There used to be a row of people up here around where Phil and Linda sat, called the Sailors family. They just had just a house full of kids, and they would take up just an entire row here at Gardner Lane. And I wonder what happened to them. Our girls that were a few years older than us, Pam and Connie King, they were just two beautiful girls. I think their dad's name was Elmer King, and they had come maybe from Douglas Hills years ago, and they were members here. And I always wondered what happened to those people. So a lot of people, they die. They'll die in the far country. And they die in the far country because they have no reason to return. They're happy. They're happy in the far country. They're enjoying the far country. They're enjoying the riches of the far country. They're enjoying all the pleasures of the far country. And therefore, they're not going to return. They like the far country. Maybe some are accidentally killed. Some are done in by violence. Some maybe by suicide. One of the things that I received after Brother Jackson died was a good portion of his sermons that the family had given. And one of the quotes here that I've heard him quote before, it says, sin takes you further than you wanted to go, and it keeps you longer than you wanted to stay. And that's true. Many, many prodigals do not return. Why some do not come to themselves? Well, we see different passages in the Word of God in 2 Corinthians and in chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 4 it says, In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Also in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 25. Hebrews 11 in verse 25, it says, choosing rather to endure ill treatment, this is being Moses now, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Some do not come to themselves because they enjoy the pleasures of sin. We also see that sin deceives. In Hebrews and in chapter 3 and in verses 11 and 13, or 12 and 13, Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13, it says, take care, brethren, that there be not in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called a day, that none of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We talked in Romans 14 this morning in the Bible class, just our whole time in the Bible class in Romans 14 this morning. Well, we see sometimes that a conscience can sear. Over in 1 Timothy and in chapter 4 and in verse 2, 1 Timothy 4 verse 2, it says, by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. I only saw a cattle branded in one place out in Texas when we were out there in a golf tournament years ago, and we stopped in somebody's house and they had a ranch out there and they had branded their cattle. And one of the things I noticed around the brand is that nothing grows, nothing's alive, it seems like. And a conscience is seared. In Proverbs and in chapter 16 and in verse 18, Proverbs 16 in verse 18. Proverbs 16 and in verse 18. It said, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Read a story years ago about Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash, around 1976, 1977, he had the number one television show. He had records that were high on the charts at that time. And he was really enjoying the good life. In fact, he was called to sing for the President of the United States. I don't know if it was Carter or if it was Ford, one or the other, about that time. Johnny Cash went out on the stage at the White House to sing for the President, all these other people in the Congress, and said after a few songs he dropped his guitar pick and bent over to pick up his pick and he ripped his pants. After a few more songs, he left the stage, said he went back to the hotel and in a rage, said he smashed his guitar up against the wall. Sort of like Ahab, he went and he laid on his bed and started to pout and to cry about the fact of what had happened to him, how he was embarrassed. Said about that time his wife came in, June Carter Cash. Said she was laughing. And he said, what in the world are you laughing about? And she said, "Oh, you're so high-minded," said God, "went and ripped your britches." And he said he learned a lesson from that about pride and being high-minded. Some prodigals sometimes might want to come back. But for some reason, they are not able, maybe. Because they're just not strong enough. We see over in Proverbs chapter 23 and in verse 29. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long over the wine, those who taste mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it's red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent. It stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things. Your mind will utter perverse things. And you'll be like one who lies down in the middle of the sea and like one who lies down on top of a mast. They struck me and I did not become ill. They beat me and I did not know it. When shall I awake? I will seek another drink. And that's their life. Maybe the fact of being hooked on drugs. Maybe that of being involved in crime like Achan in chapter 7 of Joshua. Maybe that of being addicted to immorality like King Solomon. The wisest of all the men on the earth. Or maybe being involved even in an unscriptural marriage. All fathers, many times, won't forgive. There's some that will not forgive. Many have begged. But their fathers aren't like this father in Luke chapter 15. Will not allow them. How dare you? You've embarrassed me. You've embarrassed your mother. You've embarrassed all your siblings. And you want to come back? Forget it. I don't want any part of you. Get out. Get away from me. You blew it. A lot of people that find fathers that feel like that. Many have lost their entire families through the choices that they've made. They will lose their children. They'll lose their grandchildren. I think it was Hank Williams a few years ago sang a song, "My son calls another man daddy." One fellow said it's like this. All my home is a storage unit. It's empty. It's quiet. It's lonely. I've lost everything. Still, there are those that, although they return, still they must live with memories and scars. People have trouble forgiving themselves. You talk to people sometimes. My Uncle Bud, he was like that. My cousin Wayne, he was over in the European theater. European theater, they like to talk about the war. People in the specific theater, they didn't talk about the war. Because a lot of times it was just hand to hand in the jungle. And they have a problem many times forgiving themselves as to what what many times they had to do. Sometimes friends and neighbors may not forgive. Parents won't want a child dating or marrying a prodigal, someone that is recklessly wasteful. And they live with the pain that they've caused so many. You see people who've caused their parents, grandparents pain. Maybe they've ruined their parents or grandparents financially to where they're never going to come back. In Psalm 51 verse 3, it says, "My sin is ever before me." We need to save ourselves. But you can't say, well, no one ever told me. No one ever told me what was going to happen. No one ever told me that it was going to be this bad. The question is tonight, will they come to themselves? Or just the fact of sorry that you got caught? You hear a lot of repentance sort of like that now. If I've done anything to anyone, I'm sorry. Sort of a catch-all. Instead of saying, here's what I've done. I'm guilty of it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for it. In fact, he says, over in 2 Corinthians and in chapter 7 and in verse 10, 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10, is there he talks about godly sorrow. In 2 Corinthians 7 and in verse 10, he says, "For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret leading to salvation, but the sorrow of the world produces death." He had told them in chapter 3 of Acts, Peter and John, and in verse 19 he says, "Therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Much like a sister passage in Acts 2 verse 38. And then back to chapter 15 of Luke. In Luke chapter 15, and in verse 20, it says, "So he got up and came to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion for him, ran, embraced him and kissed him." The idea, kissed him again and again. "The son said to the father, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' The father said to his slaves, 'Bring out the best robe, put it on him.'" I always wondered what the young man after this type of life had left, whether it was just rags they had on. "But bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." And they began to celebrate. "Now the older son was in the field, and when he came, he approached the house, heard the music and dancing. He summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come. Your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. But he became angry and was not willing to go in, and his father came out and began pleading with him. He answered and said to his father, "Look, for many years I have been serving you and have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends." It's interesting, he had given him 2/3 of his wealth when he split that up with the younger son. But he was concerned about a young goat. "And when the son of yours came, he devoured your wealth with prostitutes, and you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to his son, "Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. And we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live. He was lost and has been found." He served the Lord. He served the Father in a behavioral sense. He was with him. He was with him every day. With him every day. I think part of what we miss here regarding this. But with the elder brother, the heart was far removed from the father. Behavior-wise, he behaved himself. But his heart was far away from God. Question is yours tonight. Are you choosing to be a prodigal through a wasted life? You might even be here and be wasting your life. You might be sitting here tonight. And yes, you serve God in a behavioral sense like the elder brother. But your heart's far from God. We see this over and over again with people, especially second, third generation Christians. Are you willing to come to the Lord? Repent of your sins. Come right now. While together we stand, we sing.